Praise the Lord. Thank you, Kendall. Appreciate that. And kind of watching Matt over here and then Caleb over here. Matt was Kendall's youth director, and of course Caleb's his brother and beats him up every now and then, but I know that Brother Matt and Brother Caleb both very proud of Kendall, as I am. And I always think of these young people and remember when they were teenagers, and of course Kendall played on our basketball team, and he was an animal. I mean, he just gave so much. He gave 100% every time he played, and most of the time he was on the floor. I mean, seriously, I remember of all people, Kendall, it just stands out. He wasn't a mop, but he was on the floor all the time. He gave so much. And then he gets up and he sings a song like that, and you see the balance that you need to have. And I love that. I love the strength and beauty the Bible talks about that we need to have. And, some of these guys get, well, bless God, I'm going to be a basketball star. Well, learn how to play a violin too. Learn how to play the piano. Nathan Carpenter's another one. I mean, that guy out on the soccer field, I mean, he's an animal. And then he'd sit down and play that piano. And just beautiful, beautiful music. And it's good to have a balance like that. And that is such a blessing. Well, we just read the Christmas story, Luke 2, 1 through 20. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but notice verse 18. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Father, thank you so much for this story. Thank you that it is the truth. It really happened. But it didn't end there. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus grew up, lived a perfect life, and died on a cross to pay for our sins. Rose again so that we could also rise again, so we could have eternal life. And Lord, certainly we look forward to you coming again as well. Thank you so much for this. And I pray that you'll help us to be challenged with the Christmas story. And not just now, but always. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For many folks, Christmas is a time that there really is no sign of Jesus' birth. There's no decorations that would indicate Jesus' birth. There's no songs about Jesus' birth. There's the words happy holidays and all kinds of other things, but there's no sign of Jesus' birth. There's no idea of it during this time of year. You can look at a Christmas tree and talk about evergreen and all of that, but again, there's not necessarily, in many cases, any indication that the people even recognize that we are celebrating Jesus' birth. And again, I know that Jesus probably was not born on December 25th. More than likely, it was in the spring. But he was born. He came to earth. And really, the most important about all of that is Emmanuel, God with us. He came. And he came to live a perfect life and die on a cross to pay for our sins. And as Christians, we understand that. But sad to say, nowadays, you can go really up and down the streets and not see anything that really has to do with Christmas. You can go downtown. You can actually walk through the mall and there's so many places. You'd have no idea that it's the celebration of Jesus' birth. Now, you know it's Christmas or it's a holiday, but you wouldn't have any idea. And more we're being programmed, or should I say deprogrammed, from Christ's birthday to just, it's a holiday. And for many folks, there's no sign of Jesus' birth. In fact, many X him out. I've been preaching against that for many, many years now. Well, it just takes longer to write. You go ahead and write Christmas. You put Christ in Christmas and don't X him out. And there is a great battle today about this. There's a huge battle as far as anything to do with the public and the government. And certainly the schools are trying to decide, well, what are we going to do? In fact, most of them have decided they've left Christ out of it. The school programs, average school program, public schools anyway, and we have many, many kids. I love public school kids. We love them like we love everybody. Amen? And we have nothing against them. In fact, I want them to be able to sing songs about Jesus, but they're not allowed to in most public schools. They have to sing about silly things and just holidays and things like that, which, again, most of those things I'm not saying are necessarily bad, but they're not allowed to talk about Jesus in the schools, in cities and governments. And, you know, the manger scenes have been X'd out of Christmas every effort is being made in this battle to eliminate Christ. And you know, really the main question when you're confronted with the real Christmas story, and I'm talking about the real Christmas story, I'm not talking about Santa, Rudolph, Frosty, and all that stuff. I'm talking about the real Christmas story. The main question that needs to come to mind is, what will you do with the Christmas story? What are you going to do with Christmas? And that's the title of my message this morning. What will you do with Christmas? You know, we see what our world is doing. And the world is, and I started to say slowly, but really rapidly, rapidly moving in a direction totally opposite of the Christmas story and what all of it means. I mean, the world, you say, oh, no, in the Christmas story, it's peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let me tell you something. The Copenhagen meetings and many of the worldwide meetings, they're not about real peace. Real peace comes when one trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior and they're born again and they're set free from their sins. That's real peace. But boy, the world is rapidly moving away from that. But here's the question. What are you going to do? What will you do with Christmas? This morning, I ask you about one of the most important events in the history of mankind. It's not just meant to be a story. It's meant to change our lives. What this morning will you do with Christmas? You see, I submit to you, the response then is really the same as the response is now. What the people did then, the people are doing now. I actually have 3 points to the message. First of all, the people wondered. Number two, the innkeeper squandered. And number three, Mary pondered. But you're not going to get all those points because it's way, way too long. That's refreshing to some. Go ahead and amen. It'll be the only time you do the whole service. But I was working on this and realized that next week I'll have to get that last point in. But that's fine. But honestly, the response of the people then, you say, wow, you know, I mean, I need to relook at this. Well, the response, it's the same as it is today. And the people are the same same then as they are today. And so I want to show you these three responses. The people wondered, the innkeeper squandered, and Mary pondered. And I think you'll see yourself in one of these groups. And hopefully it'll do something as far as changing our lives. Look, folks, the Christmas story is meant to change your life. It's not just a fun story. It's not just a cute thing. It's not just a, we'll decorate or we'll put up lights or we'll do this or we'll... No, look, it's meant to change our lives. I celebrate the Christmas story. I celebrate Christmas because, hey, it's my life's been changed because God with us. My life is different because God came down. My life is different, not just because He came down as a little baby in a manger, but because He came down and He lived a perfect life and He died on a cross and He not only came down, but He came into my heart and into my life at salvation when I called upon Him to come in and save me from my sins. And it is such an important thing to me, but I challenge you this morning, let it change your life. Don't let it just be a once a year event or a few weeks leading up to and maybe a couple days after. Don't let it be just a tree or presents or light. Don't let it be just a story. Let it change your life. Let the whole thing change your life. Number one, the people then, and compared to the people now, number one, the people wondered. The Bible says in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered. You know, it's interesting. Isaiah 9:6, it says about Jesus, a prophecy about him. His name shall be called Wonderful, which means literally full of wonder. You know, it's obvious why Satan would want this story, this account, this truth of history out of history. It's no wonder that Satan would want to eliminate Christ from Christmas. It's no wonder why we would talk about silliness and Santa and snowmen and sleighs and all of that as opposed to talking about God with us, Emmanuel. It's no wonder that that is what is in our schools. It's no wonder that's what's going on in many churches today. It's no wonder. Why? Because his name shall be wonderful, full of wonder. Why? To get our attention. Hey, it's all to get our attention. I read the Christmas story and I get pretty excited about the Christmas story. Wow, a virgin shall conceive. Isn't that wonderful? And I understand why. And I understand why Jesus had to come. And I see the miracle of it all. Hey, you know, when's the last time Christmas was a miracle to you? When's the last time you wondered about the Christmas story? And you thought about those shepherds out there in the field and just common folks. Aren't you glad that God came to the common folks first? Aren't you glad that God told the common shepherds that, hey, come, I got something for you to see. The people wondered. It's obvious why Satan would want this true account of history removed, because it gets people's attention. And we want people's attention on Jesus Christ. We want people's attention. God wants people's attention on, hey, here's God who came down to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Hey, God says, I want to get your attention. Try to imagine that time. Do you honestly believe, and I've never, you know, I like to kind of envision things happening, and I don't know how many times I've preached Luke chapter 2 and the account in Matthew and gone to Galatians and gone to Isaiah and preached the Christmas story. But this year, more than ever, I actually sat down and in my mind I tried to envision what all was going on during that time, because I don't think it was much different than today. And in my mind, I envision how that maybe even the next morning at the Walmart nearby, everybody's gathered and they're talking about, did you see all those lights flashing? Did you see all the light? Did you notice the star, how bright that was? And all those lights flashing. Well, you know, those lights, the angels lit up the sky. And the angels, when they appeared to the shepherds, I mean, they, can you imagine folks talking about all that was going on? I mean, just imagine in our day, if that had happened right here in Adrian, Michigan, people would be talking about it like crazy. And in my mind, I imagine, you know, did you see that star, how bright that was, and all the flashing that was going on? I wonder what that was all about. And the shepherds now, they're telling their story. And the people wondered. They wondered about that. Wow, something special must have happened. You know what? Something special did happen. Something special did happen. Three things I believe that they probably wondered about, these three things. First of all, I think they started wondering about the scriptures. You know, because no doubt the shepherds, as they were telling what was going on and they explained what the angel said to, again, here's a shepherd. He comes into Walmart and he walks in and all these people are talking. He said, oh, I know what that's all about. He said, that star pointed us to the stable where the Messiah was born. I said, the Messiah was born. And all of a sudden, everybody said, the Messiah? Wow. And I'm sure that they started quoting scripture about how the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem and how the Messiah would be born of a virgin. And these shepherds, can you imagine them telling? They were excited. They weren't like we are. They were excited. When's the last time you handed a tract to somebody? When they hit you with happy holidays. Well, bless God. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And it'll be a whole lot happier if you read this and get saved. Amen. And we just kind of grunt our way through the checkout line.
You might want to read this sometime, bless God.
These shepherds are excited. Can you see them? In my mind, I see them. They're fired up. And no doubt, they started tying the Old Testament prophecy to that night. Hey, you know what happened? Here's what happened. Maybe even that night, the next shift came in. Maybe they went over to the McDonald's and got them a cup of coffee. Amen. And all the folks were in there said, "Boy, something just happened." They said, "We know what happened. We know exactly what happened. The Messiah's here. Emmanuel, God with us." And then they got out their Bibles and started showing them, "Boy, isn't this good? This is what happened." And the scripture was something people start wondering. You know what? God did say in the book of Genesis, he would send the Messiah. God did indicate, all through the Old Testament, God did say, "Hey, we've been looking for the Messiah." And they started thinking about the scripture. You know, God says that his word would not return void. Never does. Never. Never. It always accomplishes the purpose. Always. That's why it's amazing how we don't give it out. It accomplishes the purpose. It doesn't return void. Bible says about itself, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I imagine as the scripture's being given out, some people are starting to think, "Wow, maybe this is it. Maybe the Messiah is over in that stable. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe God's word is being fulfilled." I guess you could see why the devil would hate the scripture. He wouldn't want it to be considered at all. He would not want any Bible references to the holiday to ever be used. Huh? Yeah. Because people will wonder at the scripture. They'll wonder at the scripture and wonder just exactly, is that really what God said? That's why, honestly, this battle over the scriptures is such a big battle. And why there's so many different versions out there, because the devil wants to confuse everything. My Bible says God's not the author of confusion. God can give his word, and he did. And he gave it to us. But I think the people wondered at the scripture. I think number two, they wondered at the star because it stood out. It really did. It was a miracle. And God did it. And God made that star brighter than any other star. And it was very obvious. It stood out. God did it. That star, by the way, the next night, that star was still shining and shined, the Bible says, till the wise men came. And I'm not sure how long ago, could have been up to 2 years later. Yeah. And God did that. You know, Satan attacks everything God does. Satan does not want us to wonder about what God does. Are you listening? Stay with me now. All right? Satan doesn't want us to wonder about the scripture, and he doesn't want us to wonder about what God does. And so he attacks what God does. He attacks miracles that God does. He mocks miracles that God does. He attacks the resurrection. In fact, right after the resurrection, the Roman government said, "Hey, whoa, make up a story about how he came out of there. Say his disciples stole his body. We don't want anybody to think he really rose from the dead." Yeah. Satan's always attacking what God did. Satan attacks creation with the foolish idea of evolution. An attack on God's creation. In the beginning, God created. And Satan has attacked it. And most people, "God? What do you mean God created? Don't you understand? We come from great, 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 great grandpa amoeba." Okay, well, where did little amoeba come from? Well, we don't know that, but poof. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a scientist at all. But something doesn't come from nothing. Anyway, Satan's always attacked what God does. Why? Because of the wonder of it. The wonder of it. That's why, you know what? If you're saved, you ought to tell everybody about it. Right. Satan hates that. Why? Because of the wonder of it. You know, all my old friends, I got saved at the age of 17 and started talking about being saved. I didn't even know what all had happened. I didn't understand. And you say, well, I need to get more education. No, you just need to be born again. Bless God, all you have to do is be born to tell people you've been born. Some of you are giving me weird looks. I'm just saying, you don't have to know a whole lot about it. There's a whole lot about being born I don't know much about, but I just know I am. Amen. When I check my pulse, it's thumping. When I check to see if I'm breathing, I am. Amen. And you are too. I mean, we're born. How about being born again? Have you been saved? Tell folks about it. Tell them about it. Amen. Because Satan wants to quiet us. Why? Because of the wonder of it. The wonder of it. You know those folks at work? You remember when you used to cuss and swear and talk nasty like all them do? You know what? Tell them the reason you don't anymore. I got saved. Amen. Don't say I'm better than you because you're not. Just tell them, hey, you know what? Jesus came into my heart. He saved me. Yeah, well, don't you want to go down to the bar after work? I really don't. You know? Because God saved me. I'm new. I'm different! Huh? That's like the star. It's just like the star. It's a miracle of God. I think the greatest miracle in the world is salvation. There isn't anything greater than that. I think the people wondered at the scripture. They wondered at the star. But number three, they wondered at the shepherd's testimony. Because the shepherds were eyewitnesses. Can you imagine them telling about the angels? Could you imagine them telling about the little baby being born in the manger, the feeding trough for the cattle? Can you imagine? Seriously, they're explaining all this. Verse 17, when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying. They went into McDonald's, open 24 hours. They went next door to Burger King that was open 24 hours. They went into Walmart that was open 24 hours. Why was it all open 20? Because it was Christmas season. That's why. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you chuckling. But you owe me, and that's why. So, verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They're so excited. Hey, the angels. You know what the angel told me? And people look at us like, God told you what? And they, you know, the wonder's gone because Satan has tried to take it away. And the wonder of your testimony. You know, the Bible says, ye shall be witnesses. And the only reason there's no wonder in it anymore is because you say it this way. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Or you say it this way. I remember those days at RCA, Brother Carroll. I remember in the factory with all those big tough guys, lost, wicked people, and I was a new Christian. And I remember my preacher said, you need to pray for your food. And I remember going into the lunchroom with all those big tough guys and all those people that were doing all kinds of wicked things and drinking their beer and everything. And I knew I had to take my stand. And I remember him saying, you need to pray for your food. Be thankful for your food. And I remember doing what some of you still do. And I said this, chew. Dear God, bless the food. Amen. What are you ashamed of? Huh? You know what? Satan has done a good job shutting us up. Do you have anything to tell? Well, I was saved 30 years ago. Nothing's happened since then. We'll get to you in just a minute. But you know what? Hey, why don't you have anything to tell? Huh? The scripture, the star, they wondered. The shepherd's testimony, the people wondered. Let's analyze now how they responded. Okay? Because the Bible says they wondered, but understand this. Wondering isn't enough. Wondering is not enough. Wondering doesn't get you to heaven. Wondering won't save you. Wandering's a good start, and it's a wonderful place to begin. And honestly, we'll have a Christmas cantata tonight, and Lord willing, there'll be some unsaved people here, and they'll sit there, and they might wonder about the birth of Jesus. They might wonder about God with us. They might wonder about Him being the greatest gift in all the world. They might wonder about all that, but that's not the end. I remember the first time I heard the real story of Christmas. I was telling this in chapel. Well, maybe I better not tell this in chapel or tell what I told in chapel. But I remember hearing the truth about Christmas for the first time. I didn't grow up hearing that. But I remember I wondered about, wow, really? God with us, huh? Wow. It was so good to me. That wasn't enough. By the way, it had my attention for a while, but other things got my attention later. There are many wanderers, but they're lost. And there may be somebody here today who's just kind of a wanderer. Well, I thought I'd visit church because it's Christmas time and thought I'd come into church and check things out. Man, I'm glad you came and what a wonderful thing. And maybe you're kind of wondering about all this. Yeah, what is that guy up there doing? I would be wondering too if I were you. What's he so excited about? And I'm glad you wonder about that. Amen. What's this about the Bible saying that a virgin shall conceive? And I'm glad we've got your attention. But it's not enough. That's not the only thing. And the people in that day of Luke chapter 2, the people wondering, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Why? Because here's the response of the people. Number one, some were curious. They were just curious. I remember the first time I went to church camp and I heard somebody preaching and preaching the truth. I mean, I had done some religious things, but I didn't hear the truth. But I remember the first time and I was really curious about some of the things this guy was saying. Fella got up. He had been involved in a gang and some sort of mafia connection. He'd been involved in crime and all that. And God saved him. And he was telling about that. And I sat there and I was curious about that. And literally, I wondered about it. I wondered out of curiosity. But guess what? I left there without Christ, and I was still lost. Still lost. Thank God I was able to hear and wonder more and find out the truth so that I could be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're just curious. I'm glad you came. Number two, not only did people respond with curiosity, but some, sad to say, respond, they're contentious. What do you mean? Well, the Messiah is a threat to them. He's a threat. They want their way. And the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, and they just want their way. That's the way with so many today. They do not want a Messiah. The idea of a Savior, they don't need a Savior. Either they're so good, they don't need a Savior, or they're so bad, they don't want a Savior. Contentious. And therefore, the name of Jesus offends them. Contentious. That's the battle we're in today. Those that are contentious about the Christmas story. I don't want to hear that stuff. Don't tell me about that. Contentious. They don't want a Savior. They don't want to be saved, don't want to talk about it, don't want to hear it. They just don't want anything to do with a Messiah. I've got my own agenda, I'm not interested in His. Some are curious, some were contentious, some were cautious. Same today. Cautious, what do you mean? Well, you know, I'll have to admit, it is amazing. But you know what, I'm going to have to check out some other avenues. I know that's the story, and I understand that, you know, a lot of people talk about Jesus, and I understand that this story has been around a long time. But I'm going to check out some other religions. I'm going to check out some other ideas. I'm going to check out some other. I'm just going to be cautious. We wouldn't want to get involved in anything too quickly. And there's many like that. Maybe you find yourself in one of these categories: curious, contentious, cautious. And then the fourth way they responded is some are just carnal. They're carnal. What do you mean? Well, they would say this. They would say, okay, great. Boy, this is wonderful. Leave the baby in the manger. Just leave the baby in the manger. We don't, that's fine. I will never forget, as a new preacher, we started a church in Bern, Indiana in 1983, our first Christmas. I remember seeing an ad in the newspaper from the, and it had a picture of the little baby in the manger, and I think it said something, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, something like that. And I looked, and the advertiser that was advertising that picture was the local bar. And I remember thinking about that and thinking, it's okay to keep the baby in the manger. Because as long as he's a little baby in a manger, he doesn't grow up and preach against their sin. As a little baby in a manger, he doesn't represent sin as he does hanging on a cross. Oh, as a little baby in a manger, he's just so harmless there in that manger. Oh, whip him with a cat of nine tails and rip the skin from his body and peel back the muscle and the tissue and open and expose his ribs and nail him to a cross and, oh, I don't want that! And the reason we don't want that is we're just so carnal. Because again, the carnal person would say, leave. I'm going to live my life, leave me alone. And every once in a while, though, like once a year, I'll peek in at the little baby in the manger. Maybe that's you here today. Just every once in a while, I'll peek in at the baby Jesus. Folks were curious, contentious, cautious, carnal. Number five, casual. Casual. This is what I think the Laodicean church maybe would be described as. Saved, believed, but that's it. That's all. That's all. Yeah, I like Christmas. It's good. Jesus came, He died on the cross, paid for my sins. Okay, put away all the decorations, put everything away. Now, that's it. Casual. No further. Saved, but no more. Your life was affected, but there was no change in your life. Are you listening? It's like the disciples, and I always think about this, at the ascension of Christ when He went up to heaven after He had died and was buried and rose again. And at the ascension, the angel said to the disciples, why stand ye gazing? And that's the way so many Christians are today. We're just gazing at the whole story, and that's all we're doing. We're just gazing. In other words, it's we wonder about it, and it's wonderful, but we just gaze, and that's all we do. The casual Christian gazes at the wonder of it all, but never allows it to change their life. And therefore, your life is the same, pretty much as it was before you got saved. You say, oh, preacher, there's nobody like that. Actually, that's probably the majority of Christians. Sad to say. It's just a casual. I'm amazed at all of it, but not so amazed that I would fall down on my face and say, God, change me. Make me what you want me to be. There was the curious, the contentious, the cautious, the carnal, the casual, and then the sixth group is the group that was convinced. 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 Wow. A virgin shall conceive. God with us. And God came down. And God lived a perfect life. And He paid the price for my sins. Oh God, how much I owe you. Oh God. You took my hell for me. How much I owe you, God. It's not about what you gave now, God. It's what can I give to you? As our children said so well on Friday night, I'll give you my heart. God, you can have my heart. You can twist it. You can mold it. You can mend it. You can do whatever you want. Here's my heart, God. So many came to church today with that casual, look at the decorations and how pretty all that is. And I'm wearing red. Yeah. And, oh, boy, you know, we've got lights up and everything's so pretty and we're just casual about the wonder of it all. But the person who's convinced, that wonder made you want not only God with us in a manger, God with me in my heart to rule and reign on my heart's throne. You see, the people wondered. For many, it was not enough. For some here, it's not enough. You're still lost. You're without Christ. You just wonder about it all. My friend, let me tell you, Jesus died for you. He loves you. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Somebody said, why do you give gifts at Christmas? You know, it's commercialism and everything. You give gifts because God gave His Son. That's why. If you're given gifts because you have to, then if I were you, I'd quit doing it. You give gifts because you love. That's why God gave His gift. Because He loves. The people wondered. They wondered because they were curious. They wondered because some were contentious, some were cautious, carnal, casual, and some were convinced. I stand before you today convinced. I'm convinced. Amen. Everything was done with a Christmas story so that I could be saved. And now, what can I do for Him? The people wondered. Number two, the innkeeper squandered. And this is just a short point. And I'm not going to give my third point until next week. But notice verse 7. And everybody knows the story. And I just want to key on this for a minute. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And here's what a lot of wanderers end up doing. Wanderers become squanderers because here's their opportunity. Wow, look at this! And they squander their opportunity. Some are squandering your opportunity right now because your mind isn't even on the message. You haven't heard any of the scripture other than, well, we read the Christmas story. And, oh, it just brings back so many fond memories of reading the Christmas story. And you know what? You're going to squander the opportunity because your life could be changed. See, the innkeeper, his life could have been changed. But he had no room. No room. He squandered an opportunity. Wait a minute. God with us. I mean, hey, innkeeper. Well, you could go back there in the stable. Hey, innkeeper. God with us. You know, in my mind, I tried to put myself in that innkeeper's place. Now, you know, history kind of indicates that the reason there was no room for them wasn't so much that it was just really crowded, though we know it was crowded, but they were poor people. And had they had enough money at the time, it's very, very possible, I've read many historians about this, very possible that there would have been room. But none of that matters. In my mind, I imagine this innkeeper, maybe he probably had some problems of his own. What do you think? He's a businessman. We have a lot of businessmen here in our church. They have their own businesses, and perhaps that was the way it was with this innkeeper. And maybe his economy was kind of tough, like ours here in Michigan. Maybe he was going through some tough times. In my mind, Brother Hawkins, I imagine this guy maybe even the night before saying, if there is a God, I need your help. And here comes God with us right to his place. And he said, well, no room. There's no room for that. I don't have room. It's just, no. How much money do you have? No room. No room. How many folks are so close? See, the innkeeper, I figure he had to have known some scripture. I mean, he must have seen the star. In my mind, he had to have known there was a commotion going on, as certainly as all this was going on. I mean, they're right there, possibly the stable was on the backside of the inn. How in the world did he miss all that? Yet there's no account of him going out there. Well, that's because he already had his mind made up. He didn't have room. I think maybe he had needs. Okay, well, God with us. You come today and you say, you know, I've got needs too. God with us. Don't leave without him meeting your needs. Don't squander your opportunity. I mean, God with us. Right there, Mr. Innkeeper. Right there he is. Oh, I've been having financial trouble. Where's God when you need him? He's right there. Huh? Oh, you know, I just went to the doctor and the doctor told me that my health is not good and I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, Mr. Innkeeper, he's right there. He's right there. Oh, you know, we're having all kinds of problems and some trials and I've never seen it so bad and I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey! He's there. He's there. He's right there. You say, boy, preacher, get that innkeeper. I'm talking to you. He's right here. Don't squander the opportunity. Don't just wonder about Christmas. Where you squander the opportunity of Christmas. Because many wonder, then squander the opportunity, and then wander away with nothing. Nothing. So close, and yet so far. I think back to my first time I heard the gospel, and I remember wondering about it. I remember thinking about hell and how bad it would be. And I remember thinking about heaven and how wonderful that would be. I remember hearing testimonies of people that were saved and what God had done. But I remember the wonder fading out and I squandered many opportunities. You did too. Somebody gave you a tract. Somebody knocked on your door. Somebody invited you to church. The invitation was given. The sweat popped out on your brow. You had to wipe it away. You had to be casual about it. The preacher asked you to raise your hand if you weren't saved and you fought to not raise your hand because you didn't want anyone to know. You remember. And you squandered opportunities as I did several times before I finally got saved. And had I died, and I've thought about this many times, had I died before, if I'd have just wondered, had I died wondering, I would have gone to a devil's hell for all eternity. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Do not squander the opportunity of trusting Christ as your Savior and being born again today. Thank God I eventually trusted Christ and got saved. Don't squander that opportunity today. Oh, you know, Christmas story always gets me excited. I always think about getting saved. And now's the time. Today's the day. You need to be saved. But let me close with this idea. Christian, don't squander your opportunity either. I mean, why would you leave church with nothing? Why would anybody? Why do we even come to church if we're going to leave with nothing? If we're going to just, okay, well, great story. Boy, you know, Reverend, that was sure a good message. I like the rhyming words. But, and that's all we get? You know what we're doing? We're squandering opportunities. We're on our knees through the week. Oh, God, I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. And, oh, look, cute. We have a manger scene. Oh, look at the little baby Jesus in the manger. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, God, please, I need your help. And we're squandering the opportunity for him to do the work in our lives. We squander opportunities to grow. We squander opportunities to trust him. Amen. I'm amazed how many Christians say, I just don't see it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he gives you an opportunity to please him. And you gripe and complain because you don't see it. If you saw it, you wouldn't have to trust him. Amen. And we have opportunity. Don't squander your opportunity to pray and have an answer. Don't squander your opportunity to win the battle that you're in. Don't squander the opportunity to serve him. Don't squander the opportunity to give. Don't squander your opportunity to tell some lost person how to be saved this Christmas. I am so sad that Christians have gotten intimidated by happy holidays. We've let it happen the last few years where we're intimidated by that. And we don't even reach for tracts anymore. Because, well, they obviously aren't, you know, they're not on the same page. Lost people typically aren't on the same page. Don't squander the opportunities God's given us. Next week we'll talk about how Mary pondered. That's what we all should do with everything we receive from God's Word. We should chew on it. We should think about it. We should meditate. We should muse. We should do what Mary did. We should ponder everything God gives us. The Christmas story, the scripture, the events, everything about it. Don't squander. If you're here and you're not saved, do not squander this opportunity. In a minute, I'm going to give an invitation. You'll have an opportunity to be saved. Boy, that'd be the best thing you could do for Christmas, honestly. That's doing the right thing with the Christmas story. That's exactly why Jesus came. If you're here as a Christian, do not squander the opportunity to grow today, to make the decision God's laid on your heart, to trust, to pray, to do these things for God. That's what he wants you to do. The shepherds went out and told everybody, don't squander the opportunity to tell the lost. Some of you have loved ones. You'll be together at Christmas. You'll have an opportunity. Hey, Dad, Mom, we're going to read the Christmas story. Hey, brothers, sister, family, listen, we have a tradition in our family. We're going to read the Christmas story, and I'd like to pray for the meal, and just give me a few minutes here. I won't be long. You have an opportunity. You're going to squander it because they're going to intimidate you and push you down. Hey, just because he's sitting there with a can of beer, you still can tell him how to be saved. Oh, yeah, but you don't understand the pressure. I do understand the pressure. Because when I got saved, none of my family was saved. I do understand the pressure. And all of them are in heaven today, except one who is saved and going to go there. Listen to me. Do not squander the opportunity. Let me close with this story. I think I've told this before, but when I was in Bible college, I installed ceiling fans there down in the Pensacola area. And back then, they were just coming out, and it was very popular. It was a great job. And I went to a little town called Gulf Breeze, just south of Pensacola, right between the, right there at the Gulf and just the last little island before you got to Pensacola Beach. And out there in Gulf Breeze, I installed a ceiling fan for a man named Mr. Barlow. And I'll never forget, he was a very nice fella, and I always tried to give out tracts, always tried to witness to people when I was doing my work there. After all, I was a preacher boy. Some of you guys, you ought to know what that means to be a preacher boy. Okay, it doesn't mean that you don't tell anybody how to be saved. And I mean, I was telling people how to be saved. This guy was a very wealthy man, and I could tell that, and he really intimidated me. And he blankety blanked this and blankety blanked that, and he had his beer, you know, and he wasn't a mean man, but he was a very firm man. And he had me a little intimidated. I was just a young man in college. And I was kind of intimidated. I did the job there. And every time I had a chance, told him I went to Pensacola Christian College, usually the response would be, oh, yeah, I know about that. Well, tell me a little bit. You know, this guy said, oh, okay. Well, listen, what about this light here? And what about that switch there? And it just didn't happen. And I remember as I was leaving, I was reaching for a track, and he blankety blanked again about something, and I did not give that man that gospel track. I remember though in our conversation, he had a little tool caddy that spun around, and he had that there in his house, and He said, listen, he said, that little tool cat, he said, if you ever run into see one of those find one of those, he said, I got this somewhere and I don't remember where it was. And he said, if you ever see another one of those, he said, I'd really like to have one of those. I want to give it to my son. He said, so I know you get out and around in different places. He said, if you ever see one of those, would you get it for me? And I want to give it to my son. And I remember leaving that place and I had a tear escape my eye because I had not told that man, not even given him a track. And I knew he was lost. It was right around Christmas time that year and we went home for Christmas, went back to Indiana. And I'll never forget, my eyes lit up when I believe it was my wife's, one of her relatives had one of those little tool caddies, saw it sitting right there. I said, listen, I got to buy that thing. Would you sell me that? Oh, yeah, he said, I can get those anywhere. And I bought that, and I said, God, you've given me the opportunity to go back and tell that man how to be saved. I was so excited. Man, I mean, it was like, God, you've given me a second chance. And so we got home. I had that little tool thing, and a few weeks later, we were actually in charge of teen soul winning down there and had our group of teens. And I told my wife, I said, we are going to go and I'm going to go give this to Mr. Barlow and he's going to get saved today. And sure enough, it was on a Saturday. The teens all met. We took off. We drove that long distance into Gulf Breeze, crossed the bridge. The whole time I'm saying, God, please save him. God, please work in his heart. God, thank you for giving me another opportunity. And when we pulled up to the house, again, it was in a big neighborhood, very wealthy people all living around there. There was cars everywhere. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, maybe they just have relatives because the holidays just ended and everything. And surely I'll still get an opportunity to talk to him. And I'll never forget, I had my little tool thing and I kind of hid it behind my back. I was so excited. And I knocked on the door. A lady came to the door and she had tears in her eyes. And I recognized her as Mr. Barlow's wife. And I said, hey, I said, you remember me? I said, I installed your ceiling fan. Oh, yes, I remember. And I held it out and tears started to escape her eyes. And I said, I found this thing. And I said, I know your husband will be so excited because he wanted one of these. She said, I'm so sorry to tell you this. He died last night. Out of 4 years of college, that might have been my best lesson. Now, see, some of you, it's going to be your dad, your mom. It's going to be grandma or grandpa. It's going to be a brother or sister. You're going to squander an opportunity. Don't do it. I still tell the story with tears. That was 20-some years ago. Do not squander the opportunity. The wonder of Christmas, that's wonderful. It's not enough. It's not enough. Let God do something in your life. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I wonder how many here would say, preacher, I am saved. I have trusted Christ as my Savior. If I died right now, I know that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand if you know that today? You know you're saved? No doubt about it. Thank you. God bless you. It's a wonderful testimony. Wonderful, wonderful. You can put your hands down. I wonder if there's someone here and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone? I'm not sure I'm saved. I do not know that I'm going to heaven. Anyone? Pray for me. Please pray for me. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something this morning. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand as a Christian all over? Just slip it up. Pray for me. Thank you. Father, we love you. And Lord, we do fail often. Help us not just to be wrapped up in Christmas, but God, to let you have our hearts. And we thank you for the unspeakable gift, the greatest gift in all the world that you gave. Help us to give you our hearts, our lives, our all. Please. And I pray if there's anyone here who's not saved, that you'll save them. And God, help us as Christians not to squander the opportunities that we have. Please use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 318, 318. Give me thy heart. God's speaking to your heart today. You need to come. Make a decision as we sing, you come.
Give me thy heart, says the Father above. No gift so precious to him as our love. Softly he whispers wherever thou art. Gratefully trust me and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Hear the soft whisper wherever thou art. From this dark world he would draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly, give me thy heart.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. God speak into your heart. Many have come. If you need to come, make a decision today, something God's laid on your heart. Do not waste the opportunity. We can wander and wonder and be in wonderment, and boy, it's so exciting. Take advantage. God with us. He wants to help you with that need. He just wants you to give him your heart. Any others need to come? Folks are still praying. Others need to come. The invitation's still open if you have a decision to make. Never want to close an invitation too soon. Amen. All right, look up this way, please. Don't forget, tonight is our cantata. That's at 6 o'clock. And then before that, of course, we have the instrumental ensemble practicing at 4:30. Then the choir at 5. We have our teens meeting at 5. Our prayer times for men and ladies all at 5 o'clock. And, of course, then the service tonight at 6. And I trust you'll be here and be excited, ready to get something from the Lord. And he's got it to give, I'll tell you. Amen. He really does. And that'll be great. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we are truly thankful for the gift that you have given. Lord, the salvation in this Christmas time that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Father, we pray that we would, in fact, this week, not squander our opportunities to tell the story of the real reason that Christmas is here. The real celebration of Christmas, and that God came to earth to be the substitute for our sin. Lord, go with us. We pray that you bless each of us. Bring us together again this evening. We ask in Jesus' name.